둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
Got what? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See the Podcast, Season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, and then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With, an audio interview series presented by WFPK Independent Louisville, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Today I'm talking with Joseph Arthur. He's got a brand new band called Arthur Buck. He is the Arthur in it. Who's the Buck? That's Peter Buck of REM fame. Joe tells me about how the entire project came together and some stories behind a few of the songs on the album, too. We also get to talk a little bit about how he's always been circling around the REM camp, doing various projects with just about every single member in that band. And there's an update on his next solo record as well. It's Kyle Meredith with Joseph Arthur of Arthur Buck. Hey man, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm all right. So Arthur Buck, it's the new band. It's the latest time that Joseph Arthur has teamed up with REM. And we'll get to that in a minute, but first, I'd love to hear the story of how Arthur Buck came about.
So, well, it started by me going, I mean, first of all, I haven't really had a project like this with any other member of REM, by the way.
Well, you know, it's because you played with Mike Mills. He backed you up on the live shows. So I've joked with you that you've slowly tried to piece REM back together.
I wouldn't mind having a hand in that. Maybe that this will result in a reunion somehow, which would be wonderful for me because I'm a huge fan. And then, and then Michael covered In the Sun. My collaboration with him really was singing a version of In the Sun with him. That was for Katrina. But yeah, I guess I have a close connection with REM in a way. I mean, for a start, they were one of my favorite bands when I really first discovered songwriting. And my favorite REM record is Reckoning, I think. That's my personal favorite. That's the one that I really fell in love with. So, and plus, I kind of started singing songwriting in Atlanta, so in the South. And so they were obviously, I mean, they were big everywhere, but in the South, they were, you know, sort of the favorite sons in a way. So they just loomed very large. And then Peter Buck, when I started putting out my own records, Peter Buck came. He was the first member I met because he started coming to my shows. He came, when I would play in Seattle, he would show up. He played this little small place called the Baltic Room. And even like as my first record, he was already coming to the shows. And then I ended up opening up for them when they toured Around the Sun, which was in 2004, I think. And that was in Europe. And I did about 12 shows with them in Europe. And Peter would play with me then. He would come out when I did In the Sun, and he would play like Ebo or something. And then he started doing the Todos Santos Music Festival, which is this festival he does in Mexico to benefit the Palapa Society, to like, you know, help schools out and stuff like that, help build the school. So I got to participate in that for like 4 or 5 years. I've been doing that for a while. And we always talked about writing together, writing songs together, and just never really did. I mean, I had this one song called Where Is My Van, when I lost my van at one point. Yeah, and he played on that. and he was in that video. And then we did David Letterman together when David Letterman announced his retirement, and we did Walk on the Wild Side. Me, Mills, and Peter did Walk on the Wild Side. That was another event. And then but to get to how this started, I randomly was going to Mexico just to pick up my dobro, and I had no idea that he was there. I was in L.A., and I had been there. This was like almost a year ago now, and I was in L.A. getting ready for this art show I was going to do, and I had been recording for my solo stuff. And honestly, it was almost a financial decision, and I was kind of sequestered in L.A. for a while, and I had been staying with a friend for like sort of longer than I already should have, but I needed to hang out in L.A. for a little while longer for this art show, and to ship my dobro would have probably cost like $500-$600, but to just get a plane ticket and go to Todos Santos and get it, and also maybe just hang out for like a week, was like $170. So I was like, okay. I mean, honestly, I was struggling with money at the time. So I was like, you know, let me just do that. And I told one of my friends in New York that I was going there, and she's friends with Peter, named Julie Penabianco, and she said, oh my God, Peter's going to be down there. And then I get a text from Peter saying, hey, you know, you're in Todos, let's go play a show at the Todos Santos Inn. And I came with my dobro the next day to Peter's place, and I never left. That's it. We started writing songs, and it just kind of flowed. We were both just there. He was there down the exact same time as I was. They left the same I did, basically, I think one day apart. By the time we left Mexico, we had 5 songs and played this little festival in Mexico in front of like 40 people during the day. And then he met me up in L.A. to do my art opening. Because they were driving, him and Chloe were driving. And so they were going to drive through L.A. back to Portland. And they met me at the gallery at the opening. And we wrote I Am the Moment at the sound check. Like, oh, he was playing guitar when I walked in, and he was like, oh, check this out. And I started singing I Am the Moment. He started singing Waiting for You. It's like out of a movie. So it was kind of like, I don't know, it was just, we found a flow of writing together that was pretty effortless, because it was like he was coming up with the changes and the arrangements, and I was just coming up with the top line, and it just really worked. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of easy, and it still is. Like, we've been in Portland writing new songs, and it just kind of works. It's like he's such a melodic guitar player, to write over his changes is really like just kind of really super fun. It'd be like if you compared it to like surf, if you were a surfer, like finding really easy waves to surf on.
Now, in a collaboration, especially one that involves an album made from scratch, neither of you having made demos beforehand specifically for this project, maybe you've known Peter for decades now, but you still have to get really personal with someone to do this. I've always considered co-writing like like a form of non-sexual sex in a way.
Yeah, like I think you're like speaking on the fact that there's the vulnerability in it. That would be the relationship, I think, with sex. If there's creativity, there's vulnerability. Like you're both like kind of exposing certain aspects of yourself in a way, like just even trying, even if you attempt something, there's a vulnerability there. So it's like, and I guess with somebody, with people that are very powerful creatively, like obviously Peter is, it becomes even more daunting, I guess. But the thing is you just sort of like let that go and you just kind of go into it and go for it. And that's what we did. And it was just, I guess it was the right time and the right place.
I want to bring up that first song. So I Am the Moment, it's the first song you all did together. I know you tend to write in a stream of consciousness occasionally, but the very first line we hear, becoming free, it's not easy as I'd like it to be. It's one of those things like that's an entire story in one line.
Ooh, well, yeah, I guess you're right, because that's a lot, you know. I've been going through a heavy-duty transformation over the last, like, couple of years, I guess, or year and a half or 2 years. Yeah, like, a lot has gone on in my life that's been quite dramatic and unexpected, and also, like, horrible and wonderful at the same time, you know, like... and transformative and dark night of the soul. And I don't want to just like rattle off a bunch of cliches to say it, but it would require like a, you know, at least like Playboy sized interview to really go into it. You know?
Right.
I don't know why I bring Playboy, but, so becoming free is not as easy as I'd like it to be. Yeah. All these eyes that can no longer see in disguise, buried into the screens of insignificance. It's like, you know, talking about phones and in our times and just distraction and and the complications of actually becoming free and how we're sort of enslaved in these times by groupthink in a way. But I was more thinking more on a personal level too.
We're introduced to the boogeyman in the second single, Are You Electrified? Now, is that the embodiment of someone real or a cultural meme?
Well, I would say, you know, these things manifest as people that are real, but they also are sort of symbolic of whatever's going on within you, you know, and culturally. Like in that song, the boogeyman would be like the idea that if you do still have access to your dreams, if you do still have access to your inspiration, there are, you know, interspecies predators that are not happy about that because they've lost access to that. And that's an unfortunate reality that nobody really wants to talk about. And certainly you won't get invited to many parties if you keep bringing that shit up, you know? So, like, and that's a good segue, I guess, you made, because that does go back to the first line. Becoming free is not as easy as I'd like it to be. It's like, you can't just, like, point blank speak on these things necessarily. I mean, you can, but like I said, you're going to find yourself lonely on Friday night, which I'd learned the hard way,
right.
You know? Like, so yeah, that song is all about, and then Are You Electrified? It's all about keeping that part of your spirit alive, jumping the turnstile to get into the train that the doors are already open, is like the fact that you do have to sometimes commit subversive act to protect your dreams, jumping over a turnstile to take a chance.
So interesting how the thread works throughout this record. In a certain sense, you can tell that it was written in like one chunk because there's a mindset. When you have a song like The Wanderer and its themes, and then you get down to the song Summertime, which is a minute long, it's really sparse, and the lyrics about holding on. And I feel like all that probably fits into this storyline somehow.
Well, that's the last song that we worked on for this record. I sent Peter like all 9 tracks after I had worked on them for like 3 weeks in Brooklyn. And he was like, man, this is great. Let me send you one more so we have a 10-song album. And he sent me and I was like thinking, oh, man, a whole other song. And he again was like, send it back to me tomorrow and let me see what you get with it. I'm like, man, why does he think I can write this shit so fast? Like, But then when he sent it to me and I listened to it, it was like 30 seconds long. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I sort of smiled because I was like, oh, he kind of tricked me. Like, you, like this is easy. It's like 30 seconds long. I can do this. And I just came up with that. Like, summertime, everyone acts like they're holding on, and yet they're running out of chance. Everyone likes to think they're holding on, and yet they're running out of chances. It's like some kind of hiccup from the subconscious. But I guess it does have some kind of implied depth to it. Like, everyone likes to think they're holding on, and yet they're running out of chances. I mean, I guess it's nice. It's like, it's kind of like this get, you know, it's kind of like, to me, I guess it's like a statement that says, like, you know, get on with it. Life is limited. It's like, it's fun to think we're immortal. And I think most of us walk around feeling like that a lot of the time, like, you know, but it's not really the case. You know, you have a limited time here, you know.
Now, I heard that you all are already writing more songs or they're already written.
I know. It's really great. The new songs are really real. There's one that reminds me of Touch of Grey that I just love, you know, The Grateful Dead, you
right,
know, like,
right.
I'm like, wow, this reminds me of that, like, and there's just a couple more. We wrote another new one yesterday or 2 days ago, and it's just like, they just keep coming, and I think we have, like, 6 new songs now towards the next record. Yeah, and recorded, like, it's like, so it's like, really got, the project just has this energy, and it's not like we're super ambitious and motivated. It's just the same way. I mean, I think Peter is really the kind of the engine of that, because he just keeps bringing new material, and his whole thing is like, it's very sort of brass tacks in a way. He's like, yeah, I just don't want to be one of those bands that goes on tour and just plays the album. We need to like have at least 6 new songs to play. So when we go on tour, we have like new songs too. And I'm like, okay.
Have you entertained the idea of playing any of each other's old material?
We've talked about it. So I think we'll probably end up doing a little of that, but I think maybe mainly that it's going to be about this kind of new project, because the project has an energy of like a young, for me, like, too, to go back to like the way we started the interview, too, of just going through like this sort of transformative experience. I really do feel like this is like a first record for me. Like, I just feel like, you know, I feel like I hit some kind of reset button. And I feel like this project feels like a new band. Like, I don't really feel like it feels like, I've done side projects in the past and they have sort of felt more like that. Even, you know, they've just felt more like additions to a career or this, that, the other. Whereas to me, this feels like more just like, this is a new start.
Well, as a creative person, as an artist, as a career artist, you get years down the line and it becomes a challenge to connect with someone else in the way that you would have in your youth. You know, when it was all fresh and you were just starting a band, which is what I'm getting from you on this.
Yeah, well, that's what happened. I mean, it really was like that. Like, it remains like that when we write together. It's just, it's kind of got some sort of naive energy to it. That's like really interesting, because obviously both of us have been doing it quite a while. I mean, him longer than me, obviously, but, you know, I've been doing it a long time too, so it's fun.
And on the other side, knowing you how I do, I'm guessing that you're probably already working on a new solo record too.
I mean, I have been. I was before this project. Actually, this project sort of sidelined that, because I was deep in that process. And so, but I mean, it's been 5 years since I put out a solo record, I think. I mean, The Family was the last solo record I put out, and that was quite a while ago. I don't know how long ago now, but.
Well, dude, this is so good. I'm so happy for you. Congrats on this. You know, we're friends, but I'm such a big fan, and I'm always so happy to hear stuff like this from you. This is really an exciting album.
Thanks, Kyle.
I love talking to you, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
I'll talk to you soon, Kyle. Thank you so much.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much to Joseph Arthur for giving me the call. The debut record from Arthur Buck, self-titled. Hey, don't forget, you can subscribe to Consequence of Sound's YouTube channel to keep up with your favorite artists and interviews. If you're checking out the podcast version, please do head over to iTunes or Podchaser. Give us a great rating and a review. We've got time for that, too. While you're on the internet, WFPK.org. That's where I do a show every Monday through Thursday from noon to 3 Eastern. You hear lots of artists like Arthur Buck right here. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.